What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Coaches to the Moon. My guest today is Trang Nguyen, a performance coach and speaker and podcast host who is navigating us through a well-weathered path here on Coaches to the Moon. And that is the topic of finding and living in alignment with your purpose. Now, this is very coachy language, and we acknowledge that it's not the way everyone thinks about life. So Trang is taking us on a nice little journey into figuring out what is your purpose? What are your values that lead you to finding your purpose? And does this just mean having a job that you enjoy, or is it something so much bigger? This is a really insightful conversation. I really enjoyed which direction it went in. Wasn't what I expecting. Trang's a really great storyteller. She's very funny, and I had a lot of fun on this show. I believe you'll have a good time as well. At least I hope you do. A really worthwhile episode to listen to. So here she is, everyone. Trang Nguyen on Coaches to the Moon.
This is Coaches to the Moon, the only podcast you need to skyrocket your coaching business and create true impact on the world. Here's your host, Alex Morris.
Welcome back to the Coaches to the Moon podcast, ladies and gentlemen. On this chilly morning, I am blessed to be joined by my brand new friend, Trang Nguyen, Trang Nova, depending on the branding. I said it too early, but there's some big things happening for Trang. She's a high performance mentor, she's a speaker, and she's the founder of Aligned Performance and the Aligned Performance podcast, which is a great show. I listened to a couple episodes really up to this. I highly recommend you do the same. So Trang's mission, as I understand it, is to guide individuals through career pivots, whether it's starting their own business or moving into a career that feels better for them, and basically the pursuit of a purpose-driven life. So I cannot wait to dig into that today with you, all the way from chilly Melbourne, I believe. Trang, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on the show, Alex. It's an absolute honour to be here.
Sorry about the slip-up in the intro there. I let the cat out of the bag.
Launch. We'll take it.
Goodness me, I got excited. But we're there. We are there. We had a nice little chat just beforehand about how we've both been in business for a while and we both feel like we're doing okay at it now. I'd love to rock back as your brand officially sort of started around 2016, and then you're like me, bouncing around between jobs and coaching, paychecks and business for a while. Over the past few years, you've moved full-time from fitness coaching and physiotherapy, very good, stable jobs that definitely help people, into now running Aligned Performance full-time. Can you tell us, was there sort of one big lightning bolt moment where you realized you had to go all in on coaching, or was that a gradual shift, and how did that play out for you?
I love this question because the story is pretty whack, so everyone buckle in. So what happened was, as you mentioned, Alex, for a while I was working as a physiotherapist, a running and strength coach, and that's what I thought I would do for the rest of my life. I thought that was it. Until one morning when I was 24 years old, a few years ago, where I went for a run, and when I stepped out onto the sidewalk to start the run, I hear a crunch, and I'm like, what's that? What's going on? So I look down. And turns out I've stepped on a snail. Now, this isn't the first time that this has happened before, but for some reason, this particular morning, I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, I actually felt guilty that by me just doing my own thing, living my own life, I had caused an effect on something outside of me. And I couldn't shake that thought. I couldn't shake that feeling for the whole run, which then got me thinking for the rest of that run and the coming months that followed on from that run, about how, my life actually already in many ways was neglecting other forms of life, was already, had consequences outside of me that I wouldn't think about and I would never really see. So I never really cared about until now when I had this thought process going. It felt like I'd had a veil taken out from in front of my eyes, because for the first time, I actually felt the weight of responsibility of my life and the impact and consequences that my life would have on everything outside of me, whether it was the environment or other ecosystems or wildlife. And essentially, I started to see all these things, like whether it was the plastic that I was using or the clothes that I was wearing, And it got to the point where I was just like, oh my gosh, I, as an individual, I have so much power, yet I still feel quite small. Like, I still feel quite insignificant. How can I ever, as one person, make enough of a difference to this world? And this whole process of thinking, it sent me spiraling. This sent me into this quarter-life crisis, and it got really heavy. It got to the point where going into work and showing people how to squat in the gym or showing people how to do these wrist exercises, it just wasn't enough anymore. I just felt like I needed to become more and do more. And I was like, okay, well, how do I do this? You know, should I start a non-for-profit? Should I volunteer? Like, how do I get on the front lines and help those who are suffering the most in this world? But then I remember having a conversation with my business and life mentor at the time, and he laid it out so clearly. He essentially said this to me. He was like, Chang, you're thinking about going on the front lines, but what if you thought of it like this? You know, if you were alive during war, what would be the best way to help the soldiers in war? Would it be to become a doctor or a nurse and work in the hospitals and help the injured soldiers? Or would it be actually take a step back and end the war? And I was like, oh my gosh, that is it. You know, I'm just thinking about how I can treat the symptoms, but what is the root cause of all of these problems? What is the war that I'm trying to fight? And I was like, all these problems, they're different spokes of the same wheel. And that wheel was the lack of human consciousness. The lack of human consciousness and connectedness and awareness and ability to operate from the heart. Like, that was causing all of these consequences and all these atrocities in the world. So then I made it my mission to start helping people, not just as athletes, but as human beings, and help them raise their levels of consciousness so that they can thrive in their life and create a life of purpose and potential and impact. So it was one moment that felt like it just started, but then it did take a few years before I could finally go all in, just due to all the fears and, you know, all of that. So that is the story of how I got from there to here.
You're a great storyteller, Trang.
Yeah, really, really great. The snail effect, hey?
I know, who knew that a snail could change your life?
Super interesting. It sort of begs the question, was there something bubbly underneath the surface anyway, and that moment just brought it to life? Or was it the way you told it where that moment triggered all the bubbles that eventually just you couldn't ignore anymore? And what a perfect analogy from your coach at the time. That was awesome. Big mission you've given yourself.
I know. But all, at the same time, you know, this is what I always say. Like, it's a big mission and like this big purpose that can seem really far away and it can seem really intimidating. But I just focus on all the little things that I can do daily. You know,
totally.
The little things that I might have an effect on my clients, or even just something that I say to someone, or even just one piece of litter that I might pick up on my walk. It's just all those little things that do allow us to serve our mission.
100%. I rescued a flying fox a couple of days ago. I was on a walk. And I had my headphones on. It was like 9 p.m. at night. I had a call at 5:30 the next morning, which isn't normal for me, by the way. I'm not like a big hustler. But I was walking past and I started to hear this like, wee, wee, wee. Look down, there's this little like flying fox, which is a bat for anyone who's not in Australia, about the size of, I don't know, your forearm on the ground. And it was like on its back and it was all squeaking and, you know, screaming, and I was like, maybe fell out of the tree, and I looked up, there was the biggest owl you've ever seen in this tree looking down at me with his eyes like, get away from my dinner. And I called, I was like, I'm in it now, I can't leave. So I called Wires, which is a thing here in New South Wales, which is basically animal rescue volunteers. And I called them and I explained the situation. I was like, this bat is like really in trouble. And there's a huge owl. The guy's like, don't touch the bat. Don't touch the owl. Just stay where you are. And I was waiting there for like 40 minutes, getting like in the dark, and the owl started getting more and more confident. And I picked up this sort of stick, and I had to fight this owl, like shoo off an owl. They kept swooping me and swooping the flying fox. And then eventually
the woman who came and volunteered to pick it up, she picked it up and she's like texting me about the results of the bat, which is fine. Long story short, I think that I couldn't, if I had have walked on and not stayed there until that was done, that would be in my head for a very, very long time. And I think that your reaction to the snail and my reaction to the bat, it kind of challenges us in that moment to think about who we are as a person, and are we the kind of person that walks on and doesn't care about stuff like this? And that's not a brag from me. It's just the first time I've had the chance to tell the story because it happened like 2 days ago. But it's a...
I'm invested. Can we get live updates of this flying fox? I want to subscribe. I want to like and subscribe and get weekly emails in my inbox, please.
Well, I'll tell you what she said. She said, "Hey, Alex, thank you so much for doing that." She was just a juvenile bat and we've only seen one little bleeding spot on her. No broken bones or serious injuries. She's just terrified. I've got pain relief and antibiotics for her and she'll stay in care at my house until she's flying again. So that's a proper volunteer right there. That's a woman who left her home at like 10 p.m. to come and rescue a bat and then just went to the vet and stuck with it. And I'm so impressed by these people, especially when you and I and a lot of the coaching industry, we get paid quite well for the impact we create. I'm so, so impressed by people who do it for little or no money. And so I think that my pursuit of success is very, very much so trying to replicate the impact that they can create. But maybe on a wider scale. And your story, I think I got the same sort of vibe from you. So you're awesome. Thank you for that.
Thank you for sharing that story.
And how?
Yeah. What
makes me feel quite a lot.
Things, right?
And the little things. Yeah.
And that was a huge realization that I had because, yeah, my whole story was about this nail that changed my life. And it led to the biggest change in the trajectory of my life. And that really made me aware of how it's the smallest things in our life that have the biggest potential to create the most meaningful change. And, you know, given that life is a series of small moments and small events, one after the other, we always have the opportunity knocking on our door to create a whole new trajectory in our life. But the one thing that we do need to do is we do need to stop and we do need to reflect and execute in order to activate that change. But that opportunity is always knocking on our door.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're someone who goes out and really gets after it as well when you see it, because I read that you're really into lots of adventure stuff, scuba diving, dirt bikes and like travel. And you even use the word raving, which is cool. I haven't raved in a few years now, starting to see it in my eyes. But, you know, so I think I'm always impressed by people like yourself, because in a world where it's really, really easy to stay at home, we can get everything delivered via an app, whether it's entertainment or food or shopping or even, dare say it, romantic partners can basically just be found from your phone. How would you motivate someone to go out and grab some experiences when most of us, honestly, are just knackered when we get home from a day of work and grind?
That's a really great question, Alex. How do we go out there and grab experiences? I think for me, the reason why I do love to do so many different things and the reason why I want to make the most of what is out there on offer and not just stay between four walls my whole week and my whole month and year is because of a realization I had a while back along my journey of questioning, you know, what's the meaning of life and, you know, what's life all about? I landed at a place where, you know, life is transient and, you know, we don't really get to take anything with us into the afterlife. And that's what I believe, at least. So the only thing that we do really have is the present moment, right? We only have the present moment. You know, even if we're reminiscing on the past or excited about the future, it's all happening in the present moment. And given that we are humans and we have so much like access and opportunity and skills and ability to experience a human life that 99% of other beings on this planet would never get to experience. Like they'll never get to experience what we get to do, like, you know, jumping out of a plane or I don't know, riding dirt bikes, or, you know, having the intellectual ability to go through the journey of growth and reward that we get to as humans, then for me, I landed in a place where I was like, one of the purposes of life has got to be to make the most of this human experience and make the most of as many experiences that this life has to offer. And experiences to me is like through the five senses. So what we can see, what we can smell, what we can taste, what we can hear, what we can feel. And I want to saturate those senses as much as possible. And for me, part of it is, yeah, maybe doing some dangerous things just in time for the next catch up with my mum so I can tell her all about it and watch her reaction. But that gives me a bit of a thrill. And yeah, you could say that's a bit of an addiction. But yeah, like whatever it is for you, right? Like what can you saturate your senses with that will make this life worthwhile and make this life so rich and diverse and fulfilling to live and to look back on your last day and be like, hey, I made the most of this human experience.
Yeah, I think it depends on what that means to everyone, right? Like my mum's got no interest in doing any skydiving or anything dangerous, but she does go trekking a lot. She's been to Nepal and all sorts of stuff like that. But then I think for a lot of people as well that, you know, this is maybe our social media version of what experience means to us, because we're sold that, I mean, this is not disagreeing with what you're saying. I just think that we need to maybe just skydiving and traveling aren't the only ways to experience life. And that's what was great about how you said all five senses, you know, it's not just bungee jumping is experience. Maybe it's just, you know, catching up with your mum and making the most of that connection, that relationship there, a Sunday meal at home, you know, ticking off little accomplishments in whatever makes you happy. And that kind of all leads to what you do, the aligned purpose, making your life your aligned purpose. And I don't get the feeling that you're just talking about you've got to, if you're working a job, it's not good enough. You've got to quit your job and then go and start a coaching business, which is what most kind of coaches are saying. Yeah. When we talk about aligning with your purpose, making the most of life, and I think the word you said, was it like your heart's purpose? Is that the phrase you used? Is there a general, I suppose, description of what that means? And when someone comes to you and says, I'm just lost, where do you start in helping that person find that purpose in life?
Yeah. So what it means to what your heart's purpose means, is that what you're asking, Alex?
Yeah, generally just like, because I feel like it means such a lot of things to a lot of people. The experience in life would mean something very, very different to you and I versus someone living in a completely different country, someone in a very different economic situation. So I'm just curious, when you say, yeah, what's your heart's purpose? You know, what does it mean to be aligned? What does it mean to you as someone who's made that their career?
Yeah. And this is such a great question because, like, considering the purpose of life has been something that, you know, humans have been trying to get their heads around for years and years across all different cultures and countries and religions. And I think something that there is a saying that I have loved, and I often share this because it can be very simple. And that the saying is, the purpose of life is to live a life of purpose. And what that means is, for each person, it can be different. There's no one meaning of life. There's no one purpose to life. But the reason why I say heart's purpose is because, you know, if we are living our life and we've got something that we are working towards, something that we're creating, something that we're building, then that is going to be a purpose. That is a purpose that we can live for. But also there can be different places that we can come from when it comes to building something or creating something. It can come from the ego. It can come from a place of, I just want to look good. I want to be superior. I want to prove other people wrong. But it can also come from a place of our heart where it's like, all right, if we really removed our ego and we dropped into what's truly, truly pure to our heart, then what is that? And for me, that was looking outwards and living for something greater than myself. Sure, you know, I still get really driven by, you know, certain lifestyle goals or like financial outcomes, but that all ties into a greater picture of how is this part of my mission to be able to leave the world a better place than how I was born onto it. Because yeah, sure, my life is transient and I'm going to be gone one day, but then the impact of what I did and how I lived my life is going to last longer than my life. So living for something greater than myself, and that purpose is, yeah, to me, heart-centered, because I'm like removing just how I want to be remembered. I'm removing like how the lifestyle I want to live, or, you know, how I look to other people, and then living for something that is beyond me. So that's what I mean by heart's purpose. And, you know, living in alignment, like, what does that mean? The two main pillars of alignment to me, and there's like so many others as well, but the two main ones is purpose. So are we each day showing up in a way that is true and is in the same direction as what our purpose is? And is it also in alignment to our values? And values is something that I love to think about, something that I encourage my clients to live by, because it acts as this guiding star. And no matter what other people might say, you know, peer pressure, advice that we get from other people, like the narrative of what society might idolize, if we're clear on our purpose and if we're clear on our values, then we get to walk that path with conviction. And we get to make decisions that we believe in with our head held high, even if other people say things that they disagree with us or whatever it might be. And then that allows us to live in peace, and that allows us to, you know, have higher esteem and be more productive and, you know, move forwards with less friction. But then, yeah, also means that we can continue on that path and create that impact that we want to create.
Let's talk about the values thing, because this is something that, like, everything you're saying makes total sense, but what I found out as a marketer and something I have to do with a lot of my clients is pull them up a little bit on just using sort of language that coaches are familiar with, and we've got to say it to the broader public. And as someone who doesn't do much of this personal development thing, I'm not in that world very much. I work with a lot of people who are in it. The values thing, this is something that I reckon if you asked 9 out of 10 people on the street, what are your values? They wouldn't have an answer for you. You and I would, and the people in the coaching space would. So what are some questions that we can, you know, how do we start to ask people questions, or what's the process to help someone figure out what those values are before they start trying to live a life that is dictated by them?
Yeah, for sure. So how I see values is that our values are what we constantly think about and what we constantly do, not just what we look up to. So yeah, what you mentioned before, if you ask any random person on the street, what are your values? One, they might not have an answer, or two, they'll often say things like, you know, family, I value like kindness, compassion, and that's what people look up to, but that's not the only thing that values are. To me, what I see values are is also what someone consistently thinks about and embodies. So for example, if someone rocks up to work and, you know, they are stressed because they're like, oh my gosh, guys, sorry I'm late. Like, I had such a stressful morning. I woke up and then I spilled coffee on my pants. And then just as I left the door, you know, my dog's spewed all over my shoes. And then in the car, like, I got cut off and I just caught every single red light. I'm just so stressed. And then I've got a really stressful day and I'm just like, oh, I can't handle this stress. What they're valuing, whether they realize it or not, is stress. Like, they're literally embodying the energy of stress. They're languaging it. They are identifying as a stressed person. They are carrying a lot of this stress. They are valuing stress. And, you know, that's probably not a one-off thing. That probably is a pattern that they run a lot in their lives. So even looking at the negative first, or the unresourceful values, can be a good starting point. Because sometimes it's challenging to identify, what do we want more of? Like, what do we look up to? But it can be a little bit easier to look at, well, what are we already languaging? What are we already doing that is a consistent pattern in our life? And, you know, you could just put on a voice recorder and put it in your pocket and like record yourself, or like follow yourself around, to be like, all right, what words do I use a lot? What are my regular reactions? And for me, I know some unresourceful values that I used to embody was stress, like frustration. I used to be really competitive, but in an unhealthy, like toxic way. And then I noticed these things. So then I could then turn it around into the opposite, and I could start valuing the opposite of those things. And then as I started to just become more aware, and I started to look at more of like how, you know, how I want to be and who I want to become, then I could pick out even more values that I would notice in other people. Like I would say, look up to, who is an example, like look up to someone who, is a businesswoman, or maybe someone who is, you know, doing a lot of charity work, and I look up to them and I follow them, and I'm always reading their posts and I read their books and I listen to their podcasts. So what I also started to do was to identify, who do I look up to? And it's like, all right, I look up to them, I love their stuff. What is it about them that I look up to? And then I could extract different values from the people who I looked up to, the models. So for example, yeah, if I looked up to this businesswoman, oh, I really admire her work ethic, you know, her levels of discipline. Oh, that's a value that I am projecting that I want to be more of. I want to be more disciplined. I want to value discipline more. Oh, I love how he is just so powerful in his leadership. Like he's so powerful, but he's also coming from a place of love and empathy in his leadership. Oh, there you go. There are the values, leadership and love and empathy. And you know, you can start to see within other people what you want and you desire for yourself. So that is another way that you can start to become more aware of the values that you want to step into more.
Yeah. So that's a great way to figure yourself out. Really just to, you know, we do everything on autopilot a lot of the time. If you're choosing what show you're going to watch, what podcast or book you're going to listen to, how you're going to spend your evenings, your mornings, it tells you a lot about who you are as a person, but we probably don't think about it that much until someone like you comes along and says, this is actually really important to, you know, whether or not you're going to have a lot of friction in your life or if you're going to find it easy, right?
Yeah. And there's so much that you can learn from how you interact or relate to other people. And like, even here's one that people may not talk about as much in this space, but even watching our tendencies on who we become attracted to in terms of romantic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at, okay, I keep becoming attracted to this person. It's like, why? What is it about them that I admire? What am I projecting onto them that I want to become more of? And that will also take us on a path towards, okay, what are the values that we want to embody more? And sometimes it comes from this like really wounded place. It's not always a resourceful exercise, but it can be. It can be.
There are so many traits that my wife shares with my mum. And it's...
that's a thing, right?
And me with my dad. And we, you know, it'll be like my wife and mum complaining about the way me and my dad act. And they're complaining about the exact same thing. Oh, no. I've married mum. But it probably shows a lot about my values. And my wife is an incredible mum. And I like to think that my mum is still an incredible mum. So that's really, really interesting. All right. So this is, you start to figure out your values. Now there was, you talked about pillars of purpose, which is great. To go to another one of your alliterative pieces of intellectual property, the thriving three, the three pillars for you to thrive in your life is what I've written down there, something that you mentioned. Can you just, you know, take us through the thriving three and how we can start putting these into place if that's an area that we want to work on?
Yeah, for sure. So the thriving three is something that I came up with, and I thought it was like completely original, and I thought that I was like a guru for coming up with this. And then I have seen other similar concepts around, and I'm like, damn it, I'm not so original after all. But the reason, or the pathway that got me to develop the thriving three, was all the way back when I was still doing my fitness training, when I was a personal trainer. I would have two different clients who would have the exact same program. I'd give them the exact same thing to work on. But then I started to notice that one would get great results whilst the other wouldn't. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? Like, I'm telling them what to do. They have all the resources that they need. They're working on their physical execution of the program. But what is the difference between client one and client two? And then I started to notice that it wasn't just about the physical, like knowing what to do and having the resources. It was also about their mindset, which I know is really cliche. And, you know, that's what a lot of people are becoming more and more aware of. But it was as simple as that. You know, one client would have deep levels of self-belief, would be able to take perspective that if they screwed up once, if they slipped up, then it's not the end. They can jump back on the horse. And different aspects of their mindset that would mean that they would be more resilient, more consistent, more empowered in their training. So then that actually got me started on this journey as well of like not just telling people what to do, not just giving them the resources, but to also focus on the mind as well. So then I started to develop these two pillars of how I coached. It'd be like the body, so, you know, the physical body, but also embodiment, like taking action and executing, and then the mind. And for a while, this was working really well. This would, of course, generate results because if someone has developed their body and their mind, they're going to consistently take action and do the things that they need to achieve results. And that was going well until this quarter life crisis that I went through, until I started to observe and recognize all of the millionaires, all the CEOs, all the celebrities who have it all, but they're still unhappy. You know, they're miserable. Something is still missing. And then so many of them move on to do charity work or humanitarian work, and they start to give back. And then they get that sense of fulfillment again. And I'm like, okay, that's the missing piece. Like, it's not just about success. There's also that added element of the heart, you know, living for something greater than ourselves, being able to express and feel different emotions as a human being, like developing that part of our life, that dimension of being a human. It's just as important for us to thrive. Not just about the success, like success by itself, like you could say in a way, it's a trap. It's something that we all strive for because it's touted as like the thing that will make us happy. But then, as I just mentioned, there are so many examples where it's not. So then I developed the Thriving Three, which is the three pillars that someone needs to truly thrive in their life. And that's the body, the mind, and the heart. And I do have like this Venn diagram where there's all these components of the three pillars that we can start to develop in order to, lift up the three pillars. But essentially, like looking at ourselves and being like, all right, where am I lagging the most? And then that can be a really good place to start, because we can't, like, I mean, we can. That's a limiting belief system if I were to say we can't. But if we focus on one thing, then we're going to be able to really put our energy into that and we can really develop that. I often say, you know, if we try and chase 10 rabbits, we'll catch none. But if we focus on one rabbit and we try and catch that one rabbit, then we'll be more likely to catch it. So like if we were to do a bit of an exercise and be like, all right, what is the thing that's holding me back the most at the moment? Is it the fact that I am not looking after my health? Is it the fact that I'm not consistent in my actions? I'm not executing what I need to execute? Or is it that I've got all these fears, all these doubts, you know, esteem problems? I fail and then that crushes me and I don't get back up on my feet. That would be a problem with the mind. Or am I getting success and I'm good with executing and I've got a really resilient, hard mind, but I haven't, you know, for a long time, I haven't felt, you know, strong emotions. I haven't cried of sadness. I haven't cried of happiness. I don't have something deep or greater than myself that I'm living for. Then maybe it's the pillar of the heart that needs to be developed next.
There's the three. Yeah. Body, mind, and heart. What a beautiful, I mean, it's like you said, it sounds simple. It sounds cliche, but it's very easy to ignore one or multiple of these elements, right? When most people are focused on the day-to-day, and I don't say that because they're ignorant. I say that because life's very difficult and it's very easy to forget these things. But when, like, you know, I've seen you in an ice bath on your Instagram, like getting in and doing those difficult things and making the time for them often makes things a lot easier once it's become consistent, right? And I think the ice baths are, you know, very impressive, by the way, seeing you do that. It's getting very cold this time of year, and cold showers are much more difficult than they are in summertime. So kudos on the ice bath. That's really, really cool. And I'm sure that's, I can see the transition from you working on in fitness coaching to what you do now. And I'm sure that now, being more on the business and career side of it, you're not neglecting the health and body side of it with your clients. I'm sure that's still a primary focus for what you do, right? Or am I wrong there?
Yeah, for sure. Like, because I've come from that background, I see the value of it. I've personally instilled really deep rituals for my own, like, health and fitness. But yeah, like, I think something that I often say to my clients, and I think this is really relevant for coaches, because we are all high achievers, right? Like, we can get into that hustle mentality. You know, we can put in the hours. But if we cannot continue with the things that happen behind closed doors that don't necessarily get results straight away, if we, you know, aren't doing our exercise, if we aren't, like, eating well, then, like, what are we doing? Like, that's, like, the most, almost, you know, we all know that sleep and exercise, like, it is the foundation of our health. It's the foundation of our ability to keep showing up. And yeah, it's cool if you can build a 6-7 figure business, but yeah, if you can't even, like, stay consistent with a small routine that is so fundamental to your health, then yeah, like, how much personal agency do we really have? That's how I see it.
Yeah, no, simple small routines is the main thing. It doesn't have to be ice baths and 4 a.m. wake ups and, you know, massive runs and meditation and saunas and cacao ceremonies and all this kind of chest beating rituals, of which I've tried all of them. Simplicity is a great thing. Before I ask my last question for you, I've got to put my standing desk down. I didn't learn from my podcast on Tuesday. I've hurt my ankle. I start my podcast standing up and then I get really, really sore. So I'm just going to have the awkward moment as the camera starts to gradually drop down. I did this exact same thing about 40 minutes into my podcast on Tuesday, and it's really embarrassing that I didn't learn. So I apologize.
I love that. We scan effects. We just need, like, a as the desk slowly comes down.
Elevator music. Bum. But we're here now. I had a question that kind of was on my mind, and I wanted to see how the podcast went before I asked it, because I think it might be a bit of a tough question, but you're an incredible speaker and you tell great stories. I think you'll be fine. I see the idea of, you know, living your purpose and pursuing a career that just makes you happy, rather than the primary focus being just to provide. It can seem like a very first world privilege. And I say this coming from a private school background with rich parents, so I'm very much on that game with you. But I understand that, you know, the majority of people out there are not, they don't have that level of privilege. And there's going to be a lot of people out there who may be just struggling to put food on the table, and they think this is a completely unattainable way to think, and that a paycheck and their kids getting food and medicine is the most important thing to focus on today, and living your purpose can come later. So I don't have so much of a question, but as someone who's made this your career and focuses on this every day, I just love to know, what do you think about that, and how would you respond to my way of thinking on that issue?
Yes. Okay. I'm so glad that you asked this, because it is true, right? And I'm the same. Like, yes, I am the daughter of immigrant parents, but I went to a private school and they worked hard to set me up to be able to do that. So then we can be in this space where we're talking about these things, and I am. Two things with this. Firstly, yeah, there are, you know, plenty of populations in the world who are not in a position where, like, they get to choose, like, the most heart-centered, passionate job because first and foremost, they need to be able to put dinner on the table that night. And I acknowledge that for sure, like that just a couple of generations ago in my own family, that was the scenario. And that makes me even more passionate to spread this message, because a lot of people who are listening to this podcast will be those who are in the position to to choose their path. And there is abundance of opportunity and pathways. And because us listening to this podcast, us in this position, we have that opportunity, then in a way we could say that it is our responsibility to live a life that makes us happy, but then also make the world a better place for those people who don't have that option, who don't have that capability. And we have that power to move the needle and to make changes for future generations, so that even more children who grow up can be in a position where we are in now, that we do have abundance, we do have opportunity. But even here's another perspective to this as well. Like, I did have someone ask me, oh, but what if I don't necessarily want to have a big business, or I don't really want to do a job that is my passion. I'm happy to go to work 9 to 5, come home, and then be with my family. And I'm like, if that is where you're at, then incredible. Like, you are clear on what it is that's important to you. And then you can make that decision. You can live that life and be fulfilled. But that's the thing, you know, your purpose, it doesn't have to be through work. Amazing if it is, because work is such a powerful vessel for change. But our purpose can be in the little day-to-day things that we spoke about before. You know, saying something nice to someone, complimenting someone, practicing patience, practicing forgiveness with someone, picking up a piece of litter, you know, maybe eating a little bit less meat, using a little bit less paper one day. Like, all those little things that are outside of work is us fulfilling our role as a human being with a lot of power on this planet.
Really good answer. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I could tell that you're not, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there, and they often tend to be the younger ones who have come into coaching and they've bought a program, and now they're like, you got to quit your job, man, put your back against the wall, burn the boats, and then go and make it happen and live your purpose, bro. Just go out and help people, sell an online course. And it's like,
hard, bro. Just do it, bro.
I saw a podcast clip the other day, right? And it was being shared around because it was ludicrous. And it was this dude going, I know that now, like, if you're in your 20s and you don't have a Lambo, you've got to take a look at yourself, because I know it's just so easy. It's just like, you suck, bro. You suck. That is not a good way to look at the world. Where did you come from? He's not come from some slum in Detroit where you're just, you know, you're just screwed from day one. He's come from definitely some privilege, probably, because people who, even the people who have made it out of really terrible environments, people like, you know, celebrities we see like 50 Cent, they don't talk like that. They don't talk like, this is easy. You know, they're like, I worked very, very, very hard to get here. And they're vulnerable with, you know, how hard it was. And so I love the idea of you saying that, you know, we've got there's a privilege even to just being in Australia, and to recognize that, and then to not feel guilty about it, but to grasp it and then try to use that to help people and spread those little ripples, whether it's for, you know, directly now, or a lot of people thinking that way for generations to come, it will probably make an impact, and that's the best we can really hope to do. So I agree with you, and I think that's an incredible answer to end an incredible podcast. I really love the way you think and the way you talk, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot of success, Trent.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you saying that. I've had a lot of fun. I feel like we could talk for another 2 hours. I hope that this has been helpful, and this episode's been a bit of a step back, right? Like, we're kind of going a bit more macro in the conversation that we had. I really hope that this has been like eye-opening and inspirational, and hopefully will help the listeners in their businesses and in their journeys.
Yeah, there's definitely episodes where we talk detail and, you know, tangible step-by-step things, and then there's big conceptual episodes. We just see where it goes, and, you know, that's been something you've been great at talking about. So And I would love to talk to everyone for 3 hours. I just do not have the ego to think that anyone's going to listen to it. So so leave that for the Joe Rogans. He can do a 3-hour podcast because he's got freaking, you know, Steve Jobs on it. But we can't do that because, I'm sure people love to hear you talk, Trang, but I'm under no impression that anyone could listen to me for 3 hours, least of all my wife. So, oh, by the way, we're going to plug your Instagram and your LinkedIn and everything in all the show notes. But there was one really funny thing I saw on your Instagram, which is a photo of like your high school yearbook. And it was the picture where you got a picture of yourself and a quote. And here's what Trang said. She said, "iTunes lied, the hottest single of the year is me." And that's so funny. Well done.
I was a bit of a wild child because it's so funny because, you know, that year 12 photo, like that yearbook photo, like I had my braces on, like I wasn't, you know, but I just like carried myself with so much like conviction. I was like, yo, I'm not going to share a motivational quote in this yearbook. I'm just going to be silly and I'm just going to like try and do something rebellious at the school. The private girls school in Melbourne. And yeah, they never picked up on it. And yeah, it's so good that I did that then. And now when, like back then when I was meant to share a motivational quote, I didn't. And now that is like all I share.
Yeah.
Mum full circle.
Did you guys have the jerseys where you get to choose what you print on the back?
We did. But you know what happened? Like the year that I became, that I was in year 12, that actually kind of got banned because the year before someone had put on a slogan that was a bit rude. So then we could only print our name. We didn't have the autonomy anymore. What about you? Did you get that?
Yeah. And I can't even utter what I put on the back of mine because basically you remember when like, back when, I don't know how old you are, you seem younger than me, I'm 32, so when I was at school, the internet was, we were all on Facebook and stuff, but we're still on MySpace, you know, it was kind of like that era. So I left school in 2008, and back then there was still like prank websites you'd send people, and they all had very unassuming URLs, and the site I sent one particularly difficult website to look at. That was very graphic, but also very funny. I put the title of that website as my jersey on the back of my jersey, and none of the teachers knew because it was a very unassuming name. It was just two words. It was Lemon Party, and no one needs to know what Lemon Party is. I don't think it exists anymore. But
I was gonna search it up because I was like, I don't know what it is, but I need to know now.
You can search it if you want to, but I wouldn't. It's nothing too gnarly, but you might get a bit of a giggle. I pranked my mum once and told her it was a great website for lemon recipes. And it's not. It's not a great website for anything. But for this, the curious people in the audience, do not look up that website. But that's just probably a great place to end the show, Trang. You got such a wholesome business and I'm stripping it down right before your very eyes. But that's my fault and that's on me. Thank you so much for coming today. I hope you've had a good time and I know that I've enjoyed listening and my audience will get a lot out of it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex.
You're amazing. Anyone listening, we're doing 2 episodes a week now, so that's awesome. Go and check out the Aligned Performance podcast. If you're already on Spotify, go over and listen to Trang's podcast. It's really, really great. A lot of episodes on there, some solo, some with guests. I highly recommend it. I'll be back next week with another episode of Coaches to the Moon. Until then, thanks for listening. Much love and peace out.
Coaches to the Moon will be back next week. Until then, reach us on Facebook at To The Moon Digital Marketing.